ACAT.
Mobile. It looks like you're rolling again.
We're rolling. Time to get this day started. No point in waiting any longer.
Isn't it?
Today for running the tour out. A lot of people think I take the Friday off, but I usually end up working in the office or that kind of thing, doing paperwork or computer work nowadays. But owning your own business, I don't think you ever really get a day off.
I know exactly what you mean.
Phone calls all hours of the day and night and weekends, and it just never stops.
Let me ask you something. What do you think future looks like now?
There's going to be opportunities that which some of us didn't have before, but I don't know. It's still so much up in the air that I don't want to count my chickens before they're hatched, or I don't want to put my chickens away either.
I mean, it'll probably start off a little slow, but I think it'll, overall, everything's going to get better. Whether or not it's fast enough for you, that's yet to be seen, but it may be.
There are things at play on this industry that, you know, government ain't got no part of, well, no direct part. Just technology, like we was talking earlier, you know, is the biggest one. And this, I don't know, these people that I deal with, they're acting like they're still stuck in the 60s and 70s working on those cars, and they don't want to learn the new technology. And you know, if you don't learn it, you're going to be left behind. And so, I don't know. I see this industry going to really, really struggle in the next few years with being able to do anything.
And part of the problem is going to be money, you know, especially in the mechanic end of it. It's just constantly money. I mean, it depends on what you get in. You won't have the tool for it. You got to buy specialized tools, and it's a never-ending thing. You're constantly having to buy stuff. Of course, that keeps you going. But in a lot of them, I don't think they're going to be able to maintain that.
I don't know that the business model I'm in is going to last too much longer. That's one of my holdbacks of where I'm at right now with everything going on. I don't know if you were listening to the radio this week, but Advance Auto, they were talking about it's going to shut down 700 stores nationwide because it doesn't have the demand for parts that it used to. Some of the ones here in Greenville are going to be shut down. And their reason for that was the technology shift in cars. They're having to go back to the dealer. The aftermarket is not what it used to be because newer cars, people can't work on them.
I mean, today they're just, Advance, AutoZone, all of them, even O'Reilly's, all of that stuff's bolt-on.
Yeah, they sell a lot of parts, though, and the main thing is the parts are junk anymore. They're just as expensive as going back to the OE manufacturer in a lot of cases. So you got to really be careful about it. And I don't know. Like I said, there's a lot changing in this industry for me and the technician. So it's going to be an interesting ride over the next 5 to 10 years.
With the truck, so you're mobile. You might wind up switching lines, switching products, switching to who knows what. You know what I mean?
And that's true. I have already been approached about going independent, getting away from any one of the four big flags, and just doing my own thing from one of the wholesalers that I deal with.
Now, right, you can change you can change the colors of it anytime you please, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, that leaves you a lot of opportunities. Which one you'd have to figure out, but it does leave you a lot of opportunities.
For HDX. The main problem I see with this industry is people don't value service anymore. So they don't find the value in me coming by every week and servicing their tools. They would rather go Harbor Freight or places like that, buy a cheap tool, throw it away, and get another one. We've become such a throwaway society that nobody wants to fix that stuff. And it's the same way with a car. You know, car has a major problem, I go trade it in and get another one. I don't want to deal with it.
That started in the 60s, early 70s with the Vega, remember?
Yeah, I remember. I'm not that old.
Well, that's right. Yeah, well, they were good for 50,000 miles, and the aluminum motor wore out. She just got rid of it.
I know what a Vega is. I'm just giving you a hard time there.
Junkyard. Call them junkyards then, but... we used to go to them, and these Vegas were having, you know, I don't know why GM did it, but they were throwing Muncies in these little four-cylinder Vegas, I guess because they just had them, but we were going there to the junkyards for $5, and you could pull your own, and we were pulling the Muncies out of them.
The real deal back then. Imagine going back there doing that now and just stockpiling them.
The junkyard didn't care, just an old junk car, and they said, I want the transmission. Well, it's where your Vegas are. Vegas are all, you can find them all over, pull the tram at $5 a piece, you pull it. Rock crushers, but they were good Muncies, you know.
Roger that. I don't know, times are changing, and I don't see the business model that I'm in lasting much past another 10 years because of that, and it's going to struggle. Man, I'm so up in the air about what to do here in the next few months.
Body shops, don't they still buy stuff, or do you not work them at all? You just work mechanic shops, or what?
Oh, I go to body shops, but they are probably the worst about going to Harbor Freight. Most of those guys, it is a waste of time.
CEF Mobile, KN4GFW Mobile,
W2JKT Mobile.
Hey, good morning, Eric. Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Ken. Good to hear y'all. KO4HKX.
Ken.
For Virtual Friday.
From home today. I thought you said that yesterday was your last day of driving, or Tuesday was your last day of driving.
But they approved my rec for an open position, and HR already had some people coming in to interview today, so I'm actually going into the office to interview one of the candidates in person, because it looks like he might be a good fit for the team. So, just a turn of events yesterday.
Yeah, good to hear you out there, and you be safe on your travels.
Nothing to be driving. There's no rain, so that's great.
And I'm glad that wind laid down yesterday afternoon is not blowing this morning. That would not be fun for me.
I rolled into Shelby around 8:30 last night. It picked up, and it was good and windy for a while, but it was calm this morning, so I'm thankful for that.
It sounded like a freight train coming through those haulers last night up in the mountains. Let somebody else go ahead and pick it up. And Andrew, I heard you in there.
Buddy from N4AZE.
Antique truck. Yeah, got my truck this morning. I got the antenna on it yesterday. How's it sound?
Sounds great over here where I'm at.
What kind of truck you got?
Ford F-250. And yesterday my antenna was kind of a trunk lid mount, kind of. So I put it up on the hood on the front left side.
Let's hear. I'm up here in front of the man in Hummel.
Good. it doesn't, I don't know if it's the antenna or the way it sits or the repeater right now, but like coming down 26, it gets a little rough picking up 610 now.
Got a different antenna, and I've got one for you to try if you want to. It's, because you're right there on that lip on the corner, you don't have much ground plane, so, and you got the cab blocking you.
Hello, ma'am?
It is, and it's made specifically for that situation.
Send me the details. I mean, this one wasn't expensive, just a little tram. I was worried about the truck maybe blocking off a little bit of the signal, as it's technically in the way of the antenna, but see how it goes.
Hey, Andrew, where are you right now? I tried to get you on the reverse, but I didn't hear anything.
I feel towards 176, so I'm a little ways away from the interstate, 85.
A little bit far for Simplex. The new truck, a 250, is a nice ride.
It takes some getting used to, because it drives totally different from my other truck.
Three in, or did you get a diesel?
I'm three.
I've got that 6.8.
I found a few more 7.3s than I did the 6.8, so, I was okay with it. Plus, it's got a cool name on it, you know, call it the Godzilla engine, so I'm like, yeah, that works, I like it.
This is the old 460.
Yep, it is. 460 was a 7.4, and that's a 7.3, so you're 444, 45 cubic inches instead of 460.
All the radio mounting stuff instead of just sitting in one of the little cubbies.
Yeah, here on 290 doing 25 mile an hour. Down here, somebody going slow.
Get me.
Mercy, this is going to be a long ride from, I ain't even made it to the bus barn yet. The brakes.
Sir.
You can do it last. Somebody else pick it up.
And that, I'm behind somebody getting on 26 that wants to.
Got you on the reverse now, Andrew. I'm here at exit 78221.
26 and 129.
HF radios in your cars?
10 meter, 12 meter.
No, not me.
12 meters, 11 meters all sitting in the box.
Andrew, is that a fancy way of saying a CB?
It's a lot like a CB, but it actually is a 10-meter, 12-meter radio. You have to have it opened up to do 11-meter. The Striker 955.
Or is it channelized?
It has a VFO. 100 watts.
They sell it as a ham radio that's trivially modifiable to run on CB, right?
Exactly. All you do is cut one wire. Listen to CB, but I don't ever talk on it. So it has, 10 banks. So one of them is CB and it's channelized. So you program the channels in you want. It's got a software you can program it. So it's a pretty neat radio. Not the best one out there, but, I mean, bang for the buck, it does the job.
I thought the Striker looked pretty good. I bought the Anytone 666, if I remember. But it's, you don't even have to do anything to it. You just flip it to the band that you want, and one of those bands is having to be 11 meters. I don't think it was anything fancy. If you did, it was a button combination.
Yeah, it was a button combination on that radio, Andrew.
YT 9800's some point. That did 10 and 6 meters, but it was only on FM. It didn't do AM or sideband.
I got it. It does FM, AM, upper and lower sideband. There's a line of traffic behind me in this car. I know they're raising Cain this morning.
Yep, and they're all blaming you for it because they can't see the guy in front of you. P100D at home that I use for my field radio, but I was thinking about installing it in the car here if I could find a place for it. Yeah, I've got a remote head kit for it, but I thought it might be fun to have some HF in the car. That's why I was asking about it.
Now the idea of putting HF in the Excursion.
What I've got right now is that a decent mobile HF antenna is like $1 million.
What was that? Comment?
So that was pretty accurate. He said there were $1 million for a decent HF antenna. I said that was accurate.
Fairly lucky and picked up a couple good buys at the Hamfest. I got a ATOS 120 to use with my 857 for $100. Doing anything like a little Tar Heel or anything like that, you're going to spend $500-$600 on it.
To go in places and setting up my buddy pole.
The hamstick thing and just pick a couple bands and change the antenna out that you want. That's a cheaper option.
And it's a portable HF vertical, call it HFP, and you know, it's kind of like a hamstick. It has different coiled sections that you screw together and then a telescoping section at the top, and then you just, you know, you configure it for whatever band you want to use, but it also requires a counterpoise, so a little bit hard to do that on the car, but maybe, you know, maybe the car would serve as a counterpoise well enough.
Hamstick with one of those, I think the company's Breedlove mounts or whatnot. I mean, those things look really nice. If I ever did this, because they make some really good mounts, especially for trucks and stuff like that. Which I did see another company, I think it's Lido or something like that, makes car mounts. I saw one where you can take it and mount it to your seat bolt and put the head of the radio on it. I was looking at those.
KF4MUF.
KO4HCAT.
Morning, Jody. KN4TFW.
KO4CN.
Gentlemen, Andrew, what I did with mine, I got them cup holders in my truck. I took me one of those, you know, like you mount for your iPhone or something, and I modified it, mounted the head of my, this radio to that, where I could just kind of keep it in the cup holders.
When I went with the armrest I have is the middle seat that folds down, because I wanted a little higher armrest, no console in the middle to make it easy to put the radio on it. And the only thing I would think is I'd have to take it in and out. I saw another company that makes, it goes up in the dash, and it's got the little balls on it. I don't remember the name of them, but look really neat, but I'd have to screw into the dash, which I'm not opposed to, but just trying to avoid it if all possible.
KL4HKX. Hey, they make a mounting system that you pull that lower cover out that's in that little tray right there, and it mounts in the screw holes for that, and then you can use the ball mount. I'll have to find it for you and send it to you.
I think it's called Spider, but Spider makes good mounts for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that, because that tray, it'll probably never get used on top of the dash, except to just throw crap in it. And I didn't even do that in my other truck. Most everything went in the glove box or doors.
85 yet?
Alpha 80, I actually was on 85 whenever you heard me on Simplex. I was at 129. I'm actually on Highway 101 now, getting ready to turn in the plant.
Up the entrance from 26 and an F-250 got on in front of me with the taillight out, so I was making sure it wasn't you.
Found that out.
And so I thought it might be you.
My truck taxes of $9 in October, so I transferred that thing over. I went go pay brand new taxes on it.
So make a antenna mount to put that up there on your third brake light if you're interested in something like that.
Those look really nice. One thing that, I mean, granted, I could take the truck apart, it wouldn't be a problem, but, you know, running the antenna and getting into the right spot, you know, I wouldn't want to mess anything up, so I wouldn't mind. If I could find somebody that could do it, you know, and do it right, I'd probably probably wouldn't mind, but you know, you start popping these clips and stuff off, and sometimes they don't go back on right, and I know that from experience at work.
Radio install place over there in my route off of Old Buncombe Road, and it's in between Cherrydale and Cedar Lane Road is the best way that I can tell you to describe it.
Have a sunroof in that truck?
No, that was one thing I opted against. I'm not a big fan of sunroofs. I never open them, and I always felt like it's just another seal that's going to leak one day. So it did not have one, and I was kind of thankful for that.
We're asking the next question is, do you have an interior light that is approximately in the center of the roof?
I didn't put an interior light in the roof. It's all up front and two little dinky ones in the back.
What I did in my Nissan is that I've got an interior light that is right smack in the middle of the roof, so I pulled out the interior light assembly and drilled my NMO hole right above that, and that allowed me to fish the cable in easily, and then I used a cable fish to go up through the roof between the headliner and the roof, and then down the A-pillar by the driver's side to run the coax down to the floorboards, and that was actually super easy. It only took me like, I don't know, 25 minutes to install the NMO mount in my truck, but if you don't have the interior light assembly there to pull down, it makes it a little harder because you're going to drop the headliner.
Kind of the stuff that, like I said, if I took it down or routed it wrong or whatnot, like I said, some of those clips, once you pop them off, they never want to go back the same unless you got some spares. So, well, gentlemen, I just pulled in the parking lot at work, so I'm going to say 7-3. Y'all have a great one. Be safe out there this morning, and either hopefully while I'm at you later today, since I have a radio in the truck now, and or tomorrow morning. But y'all have a good one. 7-3, KO4-CEF, and I'll be clear on y'all's final.
7-3, Andrew. Have a great day. KO4-HKX.
7-3, Andrew. Have a good one. KN4-GFW.
73, Andrew. Have a great day. Be safe. W2JKT.
7-3s, Mr. Andrew. Enjoy your day. KF4MUF.
Early this morning, he'd been on with me the whole trip down the mountain, so he may have fell asleep in that recliner again.
I can see it happening. This morning, I'm using a lot more battery for my heater this morning than I usually do.
Going 36 right now.
35 over here, where I'm at.
7 over there in the rear by Highway 80, but it's reading 43 out here on the interstate.
Pumping them cars.
You want to think about putting HS in your car?
Anything a little bit more convenient for remote operating?
And I was just curious what your reasoning was. That's where I'm torn, is do I want to go through the effort of doing all the grounding and bonding I'd have to do, or is it worth it?
Go out and do more remote if it were, you know, not an hour of setup and an hour of takedown. You know, it just gives me more operating time if I don't have to set up the buddy pole and run coax and, you know, all this other stuff and set up an HF radio. And if it's already there and already set up all the time, it's a lot easier to do it.
Yeah, I thought about putting it on the tool truck. I have a radio and antenna, but finding an place to mount the antenna that wouldn't beat it to death is my problem, because the antenna that I've got on here for the radio I have in here, it gets beat constantly with these trees. 54 foot.
4 foot vertical on a hinge mount on the back corner or something, and you can raise it, lower it as you need to.
I thought about that, and I don't know. Like I said, it's just, do I want to go through the trouble?
Shelby Hamfest every year with his RV, and he's got a 24 foot, that's a very common length for an HF vertical, but he's got a 24 foot that he's got one of those PVC tubes mounted to the roof of his RV that he stores the antenna in, then he can just pull it out and put it on the base, which he has mounted to the rear bumper of his travel trailer, and he just plugs it in, and it's always wired up and ready to go.
Like I said, that's the hold up for me. Then you still got to do all the grounding and bonding to make sure everything's, you know, connected like it's supposed to be, so you don't get interference and different things. And I got a lot of different electronics on here that are running during the day.
Get into just about anything.
Big hold up. That's the reason I went with just something simple like I did. I monitor 10 meters, and I've been on it a couple of times, but it's not something I use on a regular basis.
Out next week, so I think I might pick a day to go out and do some remote operating next week.
So maybe us all trying to get together and do some digital or something like that and see if we can communicate with each other.
I mean, we've been talking about it for a while. Maybe do some JS8 call or something like that, freeform messaging or whatever. But, yeah, I'm up for that if we can find a time.
To give it a try. I'll be off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so don't have any real plans.
I do, Chef, on Thursday, Wednesday and Thursday, helping Courtney make all the food for Thanksgiving. But, yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I should be pretty open. And I've got it set up to where I can be at, you know, in our main living house and remote into the PC that all my ham radio gear is plugged into and operate essentially remotely. So it makes it a little easier when we're got stuff going on in the house.
Neat.
You know, there's a way to share USB devices over a network, so I can sit there with my laptop at the dining table in the main house and just connect to the USB ports on the Kenwood and get both the control and the audio on the local PC, so I can just, you know, use it as if I'm sitting at it.
Computer savvy and tech on that, so I don't have anything like that.
At home, it's really easy to set up. I don't know if it works on Windows or not. I haven't tried it.
Same with Linux. Don't even know where to start with it. I have arrived here at my first stop, so I'm going to say 7-3. Eric, Ken, Jody, dude, if you're still out there, y'all have a great day, and I'll keep an ear out for you this afternoon. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3, gentlemen.
Have a great day, and yeah, let's definitely try to get something going this weekend about, or next weekend about doing some digital. We'll talk to you soon. This is W2JKT73.
Have a good day, safe day. KN4GFW.
Patrick, enjoy your day and be careful on the road. 7-3, KO4MUF.
Patrick, KF4NXY.
KF4MUF, how you doing, sir?
Pretty good, Jody. Saw a small buck on the security camera this morning out there. I've got one camera out in the backyard. I've been having deer walk around, kind of posing for the camera. It seems like had several of them out there for the last few days.
They're moving right now, man, with this cold. They're probably wanting some good rut, and they're going to be moving good right now.
I'm on the road to the plant.
So far, I haven't seen much out here on 178, but, yes, sir. I still got to make time to go over there and visit with you and take a look at that. Roger?
Yeah, my nephew's been over here hunting a little bit, but he hasn't got him one yet.
Well, just be patient. He'll do good.
Thought I heard somebody else come in there too, so I'm gonna step back for a minute and you be careful out there on the wheels. And if you do get a chance, let me know when you come in, and I'll be sure to be here and see if you can't bag you a deer over here sometime. Have a good day, KF4NXY.
Hi, Mr. David. Always a pleasure chatting with you, my friend. I'll be hitting up with you. You take care of yourself out there. 7-3 from KF4MUF.
3 to everybody. I'm pulling in the parking lot now. So everybody have a safe day and that. Look forward to catching you guys later. KN4TFW.
I'm going to drop off to Courtney's up, and I'm getting down here in the shadow where I can't really get the repeater. So you guys have a great day, and maybe we'll catch you again soon. This is W2JKT and Jody. Sorry we didn't get to chat this morning, but yeah, let's catch up for lunch again sometime in a couple weeks, all right? W2JKT, I'll be clearing final.
You can do that, Eric. That's always a good time. You enjoy yourself out there. You and Ken both. Y'all be careful. 73 KF4MUS.